Turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. And we want to look at the first seven verses of chapter 1, and then look at verses 14 through 17 of chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 1, listen now to God's holy word as it's found on page 1366 of the Bibles there in your rows. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And then turn over to chapter 3, verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, this morning as we have this time of year that's been marked out where we acknowledge our moms, would like to note just at the outset how much we do give thanks to the Lord for each mom that is here and for your labor of love and sacrifice for your families. The testimony of your faith is evident and is greatly appreciated. And yet, as we think about moms, there was information put out by salary.com that gave thought as to what is a mom's job value. They listed the various positions that moms fulfilled, and this wasn't an exhaustive list, but they came up with 30 positions, some of which included an academic advisor, an accountant, a CEO, a dietitian, an event planner, the executive housekeeper and groundskeeper, a judge and magistrate, a logistics analyst, a photographer, a plumber, a counselor, and a tailor, just to name a few. And as they went through and considered the various jobs that these individuals fulfilled, Salary.com set the height of the pay that should be provided to a mom at $184,820. So, moms, if you're not seeing that yet, don't come talking to me. And yet, even as we might consider all the various things that they do, and furthermore, their worth and value, the impact of a godly mom is far greater. Because in addition to all of these things that are done according to what salary.com would identify, they have forgotten something that is of even greater importance and value. And this value that is provided isn't limited to moms, but also is true of dads, as well as true of children and true of grandparents. And so even though we might be talking about the impact of a godly mom, as you walk through each of these points, there still is benefit and application to all who are believers. Because the thing that they have failed to account for is that the value of a mom isn't just simply seen in what they do, but ultimately what they may impart as it pertains to their faith in godliness. And so as we look at 2 Timothy 1 and at 2 Timothy 3, there's three impacts that I want us to consider regarding godly women. The first is that the impact of a godly woman is seen when she's a woman of sincere faith. It's also seen when she then knows God's word and speaks it to others. And lastly, it's seen in a simple conclusion, which is she truly does have an invaluable impact. The Apostle Paul here in writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 is writing at the very end of his life. This is the second time he's been arrested. The emperor at the time is Nero, and as Nero burned down a part of the city of Rome just so he could build more and bigger buildings, the people turned on him, and he needed a scapegoat. And so he looked around, and he found that Christians were a very easy target. And so he then set the fault of the fire and other issues in the empire at the feet of Christians, and as a result, the entire empire had turned on them and began persecuting them, and Caesar even directed his officers to hunt, pursue, arrest Christians. And so Paul finds himself in this occasion. He is in chains, he tells us in chapter 1, in an obscure place with criminals awaiting execution, and he is alone with the exception of the physician Luke. He's under great pain and discomfort physically and emotionally, and yet if you take the time to read this letter, you find the expression of great confidence and joy. And he even shares that with Timothy as he writes him here at the outset. It's fascinating that when he begins to express his concerns and his encouragement to Timothy, he doesn't start out saying, you know, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and won't you just know the circumstances I'm in, and won't you just feel badly and sorrow with me and for me, and can you believe the various things that they've done? But instead, Paul directs the attention of Timothy to his gratitude before the Lord because of the relationship that he has with Timothy, his spiritual son. And as he gives thanks for this one, he commends Timothy because of the presence of a sincere faith that was a result of the work of his grandma and mom. I mean, think about this for a moment. Here are these two women, and the only time they're named in the whole of Scripture is right here. And as they're identified, Lois and Eunice, grandma and mom, Paul then says for the rest of history to read as it's recorded in the inspired word of God that Timothy believed because of the expression of a sincere faith on the part of these two women, and he in turn was able to connect with it. The impact of a godly woman is seen in the imparting of a sincere faith. Interesting to note that we have no record of belief on the part of Timothy's dad. The only thing that we know about Timothy's dad is that he was a Greek. We know that the Apostle Paul in Acts 16, as he took Timothy on the second missionary journey, ensured that young Timothy had been circumcised in order to not give offense to the Jews. And yet Paul highlights not the impact of Tim's dad, but rather of Lois and Eunice in the life and faith of young Timothy. Now, there's a couple of things we need to draw attention to, and that is this. Firstly, Paul here is not saying, well, women, if you're just desperate to get a husband, just find any old guy, and as long as he's cute and has a good job, then go for it. The scriptures elsewhere note that believers are to be equally yoked. This means that as a Christian, we should only look for another Christian to marry. And yet in some of your context, you might be facing a situation where you came to faith in Christ after you were married, and yet your spouse has yet to do so. And yet look at how God worked in Timothy's life. And God, through you, can work in your child's life as well. But what then does a sincere faith look like? Well, this word sincere, firstly, a couple of things that it's not. It's not hypocritical. So a sincere faith is not a hypocritical faith. It's not phony. It's not a counterfeit faith. It's not a false faith. What does this look like? My kids always like to talk about the example of a mom who is upset and frustrated with her kids while they're at home. This is not a life story, by the way. Upset, frustrated with the kids. Things are going crazy. The phone rings and peace and calm. Hello? There's a sense of phoniness there, isn't there? It's not putting on your church face as you put on your church clothes and you arrive at church and you cover up and hide who and what you may really be so that you are one way in public, but when you get home and are in private, faith is completely absent. It's also not perfection. It's a reality that we live before God, coram Deo. And as we walk before Him in our life context, we're comfortable to recognize that our faith is manifest day in and day out. And it's just as real Sunday morning at 10:30 as it is Friday at 8:30. This sincerity reflects a true walk with God, where it's the recognition that our only comfort in life and in death is that we belong to a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the recognition that we daily then dwell in the presence of God. It means that we value our position as a child, as one of His children, above all else. It's the recognition that it is only by the grace of God that we can know and speak and testify of who God is and who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it also means that whenever we fall short, we then seek His forgiveness and address our weaknesses. Paul highlights it in this way as he opens up to Timothy in verse 2 when he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." It's seeing the unmerited pardoning transformation or transforming power of God, which forgives us all of our sins and frees us so that we might love and serve Him. It's the recognition of the undeserved compassion that God has manifested to us in our need and affliction, in the tranquility that we receive as the fullness of God's blessings are set upon His people as He has reconciled us to Himself. This is the sincere faith that is present in a godly woman. And as it is there, it can be impactful, not only in your life, but all who see you, especially those who have been entrusted into your care. As you give birth and rear them in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the influence of a godly woman is not only seen in the true expression of her trust in the living God, but secondly, it's seen in the fact that she knows God's word and she trains her children in it. Let's put this on perspective on the flip side for a moment. If you have something that is simply superficial, or it's pretend, or insincere, how long is that going to last? I mean, think about all the various fads that have popped up in our culture in the last period of time. Some things last, most don't. As it pertains to your own walk with the Lord, if you are insincere in that, don't you think your kids are going to see through that? Do you think that your children are really going to want to look at that and then say, "Yeah, Mom, yes, Father," or real formal time here, right? That's something that I really want. But Paul commends in Timothy's life, as reflected in the life of his grandmother and his mom, a true, active, and living faith that had such an impact and it had such a weight and significance in Timothy's life that it only carried over. And what was it that they handed to him? Look at chapter 3, verse 14. Paul says, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and what? That from childhood." So connect the dots. I commend you for the sincere faith first started in your grandma and in your mom, and now he says, so that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures. So how was the faith, the sincere faith of Lois and Eunice manifested? By bringing God's word to Timothy and seeing to it that he would hear it and it would have meaning and significance in his life. In chapter 3, verse 14, when he talks about continue in the things which you have learned and being assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, Paul has written that in the plural, meaning that he doesn't simply have himself in mind, but he has a multitude of people. Yes, Paul's included as he was involved in the spiritual maturation of Timothy, but he also has Lois and Eunice in mind as well. These two women show themselves to be like the virtuous woman as identified in Proverbs 31, where at the end of all the things that she has done, the children rise up and call her blessed, and the husband also praises her, and he says, "Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all, for charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates." And yet, where does the fear of the Lord, how is it known? How is it manifest? It's brought forth as it's informed by the word of God. the key influence of a godly mom in the life of her children and those around her is to allow her sincere faith to then show the value and benefit of God's word. And expressing that value and benefit firstly in noting a love for it. Things that are important to you, you pass on. Things that you treasure, you love, and you want others to be aware of it too. Moms, how often do your children hear of and see you in God's word? If your kids seldom see this, if they seldom hear you speak of reading that word and seeking it in order to find answers, how will they come to love it? If they don't see how God's word has an impact on you, how will they in turn be motivated to understand it or to obey it? So what does this mean? It does mean allow your kids to actually see you read God's word. This especially stands out if most of your reading is done on your phone. Because how do they know if you're reading the Bible or looking at Facebook or something else? They don't. So sometimes it can be helpful just to open a book and let that be seen. Share with them some of the things that you have learned or benefited in your recent readings so that they may hear the testimony of growth in your life. If your children are quite young, as you take time to read various stories and books to your kids, include Bible stories with that and take occasion in order to help them see the heroes of the faith and the lessons to be learned. And the history that is present of their ancestors as they walked in obedience and even as they failed to obey. Demonstrate that you value and love God's word. Secondly, as you have occasion to walk with your kids, cause them to hear from your voice your love for the Savior. As great as our Reformed tradition is, if it is nothing more than a tradition and a formality, then our kids are not hitting the substance of what our theology is about. If it's simply about checking a box on a Sunday morning, if it's simply a matter of just growing up to be moral and upright and good citizens, and yet they have failed to understand the issue of sin and the salvation that is provided to them through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the call then of the expression of gratitude to this God for all that has been done for us, then we're no better than a social club. The scriptures are quite clear. It starts early on with the offense that our first parents, Adam and Eve, committed by disobeying God and eating of the tree that he commanded them not. And as a result, there was separation of sin between individuals who became unholy and a holy God. And yet God worked and promised and fulfilled. And we then see the beautiful reunion that occurs in the end. The message of the scriptures is to demonstrate the beauty and wonder of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. And so as your children see your love for the word of God, lead them then to know of this one. And then lastly, encourage your children to know how to live by God's word. Peter tells us that the word of God is sufficient for life and godliness. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that all of Scripture is inspired by God and it's been given to us so that it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. This simply means that God's word can convince us of our wrongs. It shows us the path of life, and it then directs us as to how to walk in appropriate manner. So what's the encouragement? Demonstrate the word of God being applied in your life, and teach your children to do the same. What does this look like? It doesn't always just mean that you have to take them into some special room in your house and they sit behind a desk and you sit behind a desk and you write up on a board and you're doing this very formal lecture so that they may learn how to do these things. The more effective thing, as Moses tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 6, is simply to talk of it as you sit in your house and walk by the way, as you lie down and as you rise up. What does this mean? So you're sitting in your car and you're driving off to school or to work, and the radio is on. And next thing you know, a terrible Taylor Swift song comes on. Here's your moment. What's wrong with it? What philosophy or ideas is she expressing? How might we learn from this? What example is she setting? Maybe there are benefits that are there. I don't know of any, but maybe there are. And you speak of those too. It's a reflection of what is present before us in creation. We had the northern lights in the last two nights come down before us. Any of you keep your kids up to look at that? Did you talk about the wonder and the splendor of how all of creation screams out the glory of God and demonstrates just his order and his wonder and magnificence? There's a prime opportunity to connect your child with an experience in the context of God's word. Positive examples, challenging situations. In the whole of the context, it's seeking to bring that influence so that they may know how to live by God's word as they know Christ and they see the love that you have for your Lord and Savior. Ladies, you have a tremendous opportunity. You don't get paid enough. It's a 24/7, 365-day job, unless it's leap year and you don't get that day off. It's challenging. There's a lot of demands. And yet, the God who has loved you and saved you has also equipped you by his Spirit to strengthen you for this task, and he promises you that the effective impact of his word is tremendous. You don't have to concern yourself with the results. You simply trust yourself to the hand of God as you are faithful in the task that he has set before you, knowing that he'll use you mightily as a significant purpose. He did so in the life of Timothy through his mom and grandma. And as you can serve in that position, or you may one day serve in this position, God can use you in a mighty way to impact future generations with the Savior. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the reminder that you have given us. Not just in the context of a great work, but also a great reward. It's the reward of seeing yet one individual who would know and confess and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the angels in heaven rejoice when just one would do so. And you allow moms a tremendous opportunity for impact and influence and encouragement and guidance that no one else can give. Would you strengthen our moms as they reflect on this? Would you encourage those who feel down? Would you build up others who are burdened? Would you comfort those to see the strength of your hand at work in their lives? And for all future moms, would you set in them the desire even now to pursue these things, that it would be a natural thing that occurs as you work them in the context of their own families? Help dads and sons to encourage and to cry out to you. And through it all, would you be a powerful work in your people, setting this tremendous example of work? We ask all this even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.